Thanks, Amy. I'm doubly daunted by being on Duke Ellington's stage and having to say what I'm going to say in 5 minutes, so I'd best get started. The current state of play with regulatory impact analysis was nicely summarized by Nat Cohane, an economist, in RFF's recent Reforming Regulatory Impact Analysis book, which is a very useful book that they've just published. So rather than provide you my interpretation, let me just say what Nat says. Quote, the conventional view among efficiency-minded economists is that a regulatory impact analysis, and particularly the cost-benefit analysis at its heart, should guide decision-makers in designing policy, setting the stringency of the emissions reductions required, selecting the appropriate policy instrument, and so on. The role of the cost-benefit analysis in this framework is prescriptive, to provide the policymaker with a definitive assessment of the relative efficiency of the policy options. Close quote. The basic problem with this approach is that the fixation on cost-benefit analysis channels too much energy and intention into a focus that is simultaneously too broad and too narrow. As currently practiced, the process places too much emphasis on the technocratic and methodological details of how cost-benefit analysis should be done, and too little attention on elucidating what is at stake, both in terms of competing values and in terms of the material consequences of regulation expressed in their natural units of measure rather than in monetary terms, in ways that can contribute better to public deliberation. Things would improve in regulatory impact analysis land if we adopted a more pragmatic approach. At least Sid Shapiro and I have tried to have argued this and tried to develop the idea in the article that Amy mentioned. Now, we're not unduly optimistic that the idea of pragmatic regulatory analysis can actually gain a lot of traction in a public policy environment that's so committed to making cost-benefit analysis the centerpiece. But sometimes I think it's appropriate to offer up a proposal that calls into question accepted conventions, if only to shed some light on ways in which those conventions seem to have gone awry and thereby contribute to the larger work of improving regulatory decisions. Now, in our view, the current practice is too broad because it seeks to impose a one-size-fits-all analytic scheme on a landscape of regulatory responsibility that calls for a menu of different approaches. Impact analyses should be done in the service of the task the agency has been assigned. Our existing statutes often task agencies with making decisions based on the best available technology, achieving a certain level of ambient quality, or ensuring that risk does not exceed some acceptable level. In these circumstances, prior democratic decisions have actually rejected cost-benefit analysis as the decision rule for government action. And the insistence that a complex cost-benefit analysis be satisfactorily completed as a condition of being able to take the action only stands as an obstacle to the agency's regulatory mission. If cost-benefit analysis is to be done, perhaps in order to provide the public and their public servants additional information for a larger public discussion about whether to amend the statutes in question, it is better done offline, outside of the critical path for developing regulation. Now, as we sit here in May of 2009, there may be fewer statutes or provisions rejecting CBA as a decision tool than there were when Sid and I wrote the article and published it in April of 2008 as a result of Entergy. But as Amy said, rather than debate the scope of that decision, let me just turn to the other situations, the other kinds of statutes that do permit some consideration of costs and benefits in regulation. First, let me say what ought to be obvious. As a general proposition, the first thing to be said about considering both the costs and the benefits of possibly writing new rules to address some environmental health or safety problem is that doing so is absolutely essential. No one wants to impose massive regulatory burdens in the name of stamping out some minuscule problem. Where pragmatic analysis differs from the current practice is that we would urge this to be done through a discussion of both the value questions that regulatory decisions raise and the facts as we know them, not by relying on a fully monetized cost-benefit analysis. What I have in mind is something that can draw its lineage from Ben Franklin's prudential algebra rather than from cost-benefit analysis. And since I think my colleague Dick Pierce is going to say a word about that, and I only have 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to pay particular attention to that part of his remark. As for values, in this consideration of facts and values, cost-benefit analysis currently sends a very distinctive normative message, which is just this. Our country's policy towards permitting our citizens to be exposed to environmental risk is to provide as much protection as they are prepared to pay for. A moment's reflection suggests, I think, that this is a contestable proposition. There are a number of other values that might also play a role in establishing our social policy towards risk. Justice, equity, maintaining the integrity of existing communities, being especially sensitive to the well-being of children, or to that of vulnerable populations, or of the elderly, or of those who are underserved by other public services, taking a precautionary posture, being attuned to religious or spiritual dimensions of the choice we face. Any and all of these might be implicated, and many of them typically are, in significant regulatory judgments. When they are, pragmatic analysis thinks they should all be placed on an equal footing and debated without privileging the principle of provide only what help people can pay for, while relegating these other values to secondary status. So pragmatic analysis aspires to be an analysis in aid of open deliberation in which lay people can participate with the same competence alongside the technocrats to debate these value propositions. Of course, that deliberation needs to be assisted by providing the deliberation as much factual information as is available. How much will more safety cost? What health effects are at stake? And how much will they be reduced? Who is likely to be the most or least affected? Does the distribution of effects change if the regulatory instrument to be deployed changes? What is the state of uncertainty? Do we think there are significant unknown unknowns, as Don Rumsfeld put it so nicely years ago? Pragmatic analysis aspires to provide as much useful information as possible within the constraints of the process, but it would supply that information in terms of their natural units, like estimated number of incidents of chronic bronchitis, and would not attempt to place a monetary value on them, because that is the step that then rivets everyone's attention on the people should get what they are willing to pay for question, which I think is a foreshortened approach to regulatory decision making. Frank's going to say something more about how one might go about an evaluation of costs and benefits that doesn't monetize the benefits and allows me to get off the podium just a couple of minutes over my time. Thanks.
Perfect.